Hello and welcome to the iFeatures podcast. Welcome to another episode in our second series, Stories About Place. We have a brand new round of iFeatures projects embarking on their development journeys, and we'll be hearing from those teams as well as others from previous rounds of the programme all about their films and how the places that they are either set or filmed in contribute to the stories they are telling. Last episode, we were exploring England's southeast regions, in particular Crystal Palace and the Kent coastline. I did say we would be heading to Manchester next, but just before we do head back up north, we want to make one final stop while we're down in the southeast. So, this episode, we are visiting Southgate in North London to speak with Alana Olivia, a member of this year's iFeatures cohort, to hear about her plans for her debut feature.
And it's not just about casting a Middle Eastern person in a film and being like, oh, we've been diverse. No, it's about creating diverse stories.
We'll also be speaking to Creative England's Hayley Armstrong about international productions coming to England to utilise the many locations, facilities and crew that the entire country has to offer.
It's really important that the positive effects that this industry brings is felt across the whole of the country.
Alana Olivia is a writer-director on this year's iFeatures programme. With a passion for creating more inclusive films for women and women of colour, her Cypriot Egyptian heritage has played an integral role in all of her work to date, with short films including Olives and Taroff. Alana showed Abby and the Creative England team around Southgate, a heavily populated Cypriot community in North London. It's where she grew up, and it will also be the setting for her debut feature film, I Don't Eat Meat, currently in development on iFeatures.
So, Alana, thank you for inviting us down to Southgate.
Thanks for coming. Welcome to Southgate, the land of the Cypriots.
How's the first draft going?
I haven't started it yet. I like to think about things for a long time and kind of like have some space and then do a big throw up on a page.
Procrastinate.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a professional procrastinator. And then I'll eventually sit down, throw it up, and then go back. I'm not very good at sitting down and pacing myself.
So for people listening, tell them a little bit about I Don't Eat Meat.
Okay, so I Don't Eat Meat, which is actually Dendrois Greas in Greek, is set in it's a near-fi dystopian future where the UK has been divided into ethnic sectors. It's basically a way for the Fairs, who are basically the likes of Boris Johnson and all the other Tories, can kind of keep control of the immigrants and the ethnics in the UK without getting rid of them, because they do all the jobs that they can't be asked to do. But keep a kind of a lid on it, and no more mixed race people, keep them in their sector. So we hone in on the Cypriot sector, which is set in Southgate. It's Southgate on steroids, so it's lots of meat, lots of bloody meat. And basically it's ran by the Archbishop, who is the head of the church, but he's basically one big old extremist. And he's basically very scared about losing their, you know, heritage and their culture. So it's all just kind of Cypriots on steroids. So it's just like very extreme. So we meet Athena, who is a young, due to be 15-year-old girl, and she's a day away from her period, which means she becomes a breeding machine for the sector to keep the sector alive and going.
Wow.
It's a bit intense. And basically, long story short, her dad gets killed by the Archbishop, and it's basically a journey of her taking revenge. And she's basically having the veil kind of taken away from, you know, pulled up from her eyes, and she's seeing the sector for what it is, and it's actually not the beauty. The beauty of her culture has been stripped, and it's all been made very extreme.
and it's about her kind of helping herself but her sector get back to what the reality is of the culture, which is, you know, beautiful, good food, love, family. Yeah.
Sounds very cool.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about where you get your ideas from.
My ideas are basically just, it's just my life. It's like, I grew up in Southgate and I was kind of surrounded in this world that was very much, you know, very Cypriot, and being kind of, it's basically about being a second generation immigrant and how you keep a hold of your culture, your heritage, whilst trying to somehow fit in to being a Brit. So that's where I get most of my idea. And just my grandma is a massive inspiration to me.
So for someone who hasn't been to Southgate,
yeah,
visually paint a picture of what we can see.
Okay. Lots of kebab shops. Look, we're right in front of the Charcoal Grill right now. Shout out to Charcoal Grill. Southgate roundabout. It's a pretty big roundabout where the station is. And I kind of feel like that is the gateway to Cypressville in London. And it's just like, we've got a Mackie D's over here. We've got my school that I went to, Southgate School, which is a massive state school. Lots of Cypriots you'll start to see coming around, and they all drive Mercedes-Benz. We've got my church isn't too far away that I grew up in. It's quite a normal city, London city street. It's not like that nice, but it's home. So, oh look, we've got Wilton's coming up on the left, which is a massive Cypriot bakery.
Okay.
Which you're going to have some baklava in, and all the other honey, swimming in honey. You'll just be swimming in lots of honey. It's great.
So growing up, how did you know that you wanted to get into film and TV?
So my mum does makeup and hair for film. And so I think, so she's always absolutely loved film. And we would just sit together and just watch loads of films. And, you know, I'm really into commercial stuff, but I'm also really into art house. But, you know, I kind of grew up watching Cypriot soap operas, which are really very heightened. So if you think of a telenovela, which is like the Spanish soap opera, it's like the Cypriot version, so all the women are in headscarves and they all sound like they're crying when they're just talking about the weather. And I just kind of knew from then on that I was like really into it, just like how intense emotions are and how the passion. My family are so loud and passionate, and I think it was a really good way to kind of filter all of my frustrations of not fitting in and all that stuff into a medium that I can kind of, people can watch and relate to.
So people who may have seen some of your shorts and people who haven't,
yeah,
give us a little bit of background on, you know, Olive, is it Taroff, is that how you pronounce
Taroff,
it?
Taroff, yeah. Taroff. Yeah.
What sort of stories did you tell in those shorts?
It's the same stuff I've just been talking about, so like what it is to be a first, second, even third generation immigrant growing up in London. And kind of growing up within a world that feels quite at home, but then once you leave that world, aka once you leave Southgate, feeling like you have to try and assimilate to like fit in. Olive's is a little bit more comedy about a girl who's struggling with her mental health, and it's a autobiographical piece of when I was first struggling with panic attacks. And in my culture, I feel like there's still not enough kind of awareness around mental health, and so I just thought I was having heart attacks, like mini heart attacks, and then went to A&E one day and they were like, yeah, you've got an anxiety something going on. And then I got diagnosed, and since then I feel like I've been able to feel a lot better about it and accept myself more because of that. But coming from a world and a culture that don't really think of, you know, they've come here from the wars, and so they think mental health is like, you know, a really self-indulgent thing. And they're all probably suffering with PTSD. Like my dad came over when he was 15 because of the war in Cyprus. So he's just got a proper hard shell. Like, so he just doesn't, he didn't really get it. So Olive's is about that. And it's about two other girls who are from Olive background. I call us Olives, but Middle Eastern background. And then Taroff is set in the Iranian world. My best friend's Iranian, and we were kind of really interested in how there's this weird culture in Iranian culture, but it's also very much a part of mine, which is like, you don't say how you feel kind of around three goes to be polite, and then you eventually get offended. It's really weird, but so yeah, it's kind of putting a microscope on these kind of ways and traditions that we have, that but then within a world, and kind of themes that are really universal, like grief, father and daughter relationships, identity. But I would say all of my stuff is looking at identity, figuring out who I am in the process.
So why Southgate?
As in for my film?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's set here. It's where I grew up. It's the main point of inspiration for the film. It is like, it's completely Southgate. Like, it's like, that's it. It is set here, literally. These are the streets that it's going to be filmed on. And the church that it will be filmed in, like, it's just down the road, and like, this is exactly where it's set, so it's got to be here. It can't be anywhere else.
How important do you think it is that stories with different people, representing different people from Britain, are for British cinema?
Oh my God, it's so important. It's like, it is Britain. Like, what makes Britain so amazing, especially like growing up in London? It's like a melting pot of different ethnicities and different cultures, and how, and what I think is quite, people are not aware of, is how similar we all are and how we share the same family values and stuff like that. But it's like, we're just not seen enough, and we're not given that chance to really show who we're about. And so then we are kind of brought up to feel like others, but we're not. We are Britain. This is what makes Britain so cool. Like, and yeah, we need to see it. It's so important. Like, I just feel so passionate about it, because growing up, I just didn't see myself and it's not just about casting, you know, a Middle Eastern person in a film and being like, oh, we've been diverse. No, it's about creating diverse stories. Like, let's see a story of a Cypriot girl dealing with all the stuff that a non-Cypriot girl deals with. But it's important. We have to see it, because then the younger me, the younger, you know, immigrants can see and be like, oh yeah, it's me. Like, that's me, and it's all right. I'm all right. I'm going to be all right, you know?
What do you hope audiences take away from I Don't Eat Meat, or if they go back now and watch Olive and Tara?
So my main thing is, I want my audience to like have fun. Okay. I don't want my film to just be seen by middle-class Curzon membership people. I want there to be 15-year-olds in the audience throwing popcorn at each other, talking about how mad this film is and how much they're like, rah, you know, I can relate to that. That was me, man, that was me. But they would never even think that anyone would give anyone the money to even express that emotion that they were feeling, or that moment in time. That is what, for me, cinema is about. And obviously you're exploring all these important, you know, very deep themes, like who am I, you know, being an immigrant in London, and what does that mean? And especially right now with what's going on with Brexit, and we are in like, oh, I've got goosebumps when I think about it. We are in like a very scary time. And like, if we don't portray these stories, I just don't know what the future of Britain will be. I think it's quite scary. So it's about exploring all these really relatable, important subjects, but in a really fun way. I don't want to see it depressing no more. I want to see the colour. You know, when we see these areas like in London that are, you know, what people class as urban areas, it's always so bleak and depressing and like dark greys. And, you know, like I grew up around like, you know, deep bloody reds and like golds and Jesus's face on this crucifix. It was all very like dramatic, but we don't see it like that. We just see it all really depressing. And so I kind of want to give a voice to all the kids that were like me growing up, that were like full of spirit and were like so much fun. Like, we had so much fun growing up. We'd go to church, we'd still have fun. Like, even though it was bare religious and we'd be like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, we'd still have fun and like try and nick some of the wine that was Jesus's blood, and really enjoyed the like the halloumi and the bread. You know, it's about like seeing that side of it, not just the depressing end of it, you know.
But obviously all these things have influenced how you want to tell stories as well.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't regret or feel angry about any of my childhood now, because I'm hopefully going to be given the chance to like open up, you know, have be a window to these worlds that are just not explored, and for, you know, younger, like mini me's, I just see mini olives everywhere being like, ah, there's this film called I Don't Eat Meat, it's so much fun, and it's like, it's me, man. That's how I felt like when I watched Get Out. I was just like in the audience, and the way people were responding, I was just like, this is what I want to do. I want people to feel exhilarated by who they are, you know.
So let's talk about iFeatures for a little bit.
Yeah.
How did you know you wanted to submit this year? Have you submitted before?
No, not at all. Like, I actually, this sounds really annoying, but I submitted like 2 weeks before. Actually, no, when I say I submitted 2 weeks before, I came up with the idea 2 weeks before. I submitted at 12 o'clock the night that the deadline. I remember putting my submission and being like, oh my God, they want a video of me talking about who I am and the projects. I did it in my pajamas because I have 5 minutes. But anyway, it's been the most amazing experience so far ever. I've been saying to everyone, I feel like their film baby, and they're just like nurturing me and bringing me up and letting me be as
I really like
myself.
That analogy.
Yeah, letting me be as like, you know, myself as possible, which is so nice, because I thought I had to be someone else in order to get anywhere and to kind of explore my stories. But I can't be someone else and explore the stories that I want to explore. So it's really nice to feel like they want me to be my most authentic self. So yeah, I feel like so blessed to be doing this. I can't even tell you. It's like amazing, amazing, amazing.
So you've got two producers attached.
Yeah.
How did the guys join the project?
So they joined a little bit later. I actually applied to iFeatures without producers, because yeah, I didn't even have much of an idea kind of 2 weeks before, like I said. And then my agent kind of said, oh, there's these guys at Dorothy Street Pictures, and long story short, I met Ariadne, who is Greek, which definitely helped. I'm not going to lie, there was a lot of pressure put on that meeting just because she was Greek. And then Julia, and they're just both, you know, boss bitches who really care about film and like all the things that I care about. And it was just nice fit. And yeah, it's going really well.
So tell us your route to now making your first time, well, to developing your first time feature. What did you do previously?
So I started as a actress, and I was in comedies, and just yeah, a bit frustrated by the lack of roles for female talent and ethnic female talent, and then had this idea about olives and just was so fed up of talking about it. I was itching to make something. Made a 5-minute teaser, which the BBC saw and took it on, and then I think from then directing that, just because I thought no one else can direct it but me, because it's so specific. I don't really know of any Cypriot directors. And then I did that, and then I was like, oh my God, I really like directing. I really like giving people the space to feel what they need to feel and express themselves. And then wrote Tar Off when I was losing both of my grandparents at the same time, and was just felt very very much kind of judged by, you know, not knowing my prayer and how to make soup and all the things a Cypriot woman is supposed to do, especially when, you know, losing someone. All the cultural specifics and ideals are very much heightened in those situations. And so I wrote Tara off and then thought, okay, I'm going to direct this just to kind of test myself and see if I can actually do this on a bigger scale. And did it and loved it. And I just love it, and I'm just like, I just want my feature now. I'm ready to jump in the deep end and, you know, be with some characters a bit longer, let them stretch their legs and do what they need to do, you know.
So you're actually going to introduce us to your grandma, who is Greek.
Yeah, Lenny, shout out.
So you're going to give us a true experience of what it's like to be in Southgate.
Yeah, she lives just down the road. She's what I come back to I just moved out of this area actually only a year ago, and she is what I come back here for, and the kebabs obviously. And actually get my eyebrows threaded here too, because she's the best. Can't be getting them done elsewhere, otherwise it's a bad idea. So you're going to meet her. She's about Cypriot as it gets. She's She's cool. She's so cool. And she's really small and cute.
Before heading off, the team were invited back to Alana's grandmother's house to drink in some of the local Cypriot culture.
Coffee, yeah. Coffee? Coffee or tea? Coffee.
Thank you.
Thanks. Gamnis Gibray coffee? No? She's going to do you Greek coffee and she could tell your fortune.
No sugar for me, thank you.
We're
going to
teach you Greek.
Okay.
Say, ne.
Ne.
Yes.
Ne.
What's
ne?
Ne.
Yes.
Ne.
Yes.
Ne.
Yes.
What's please?
Yes. And yes. Ochi is no.
Ochi.
Please is sesparagalo.
Sesparagalo.
Ne? Yeah?
Alana and all the other filmmakers on iFeatures are developing stories that really put an emphasis on the place in which they are being told. And whilst we're hearing from our country's emerging talent on this podcast, there are filmmakers from all over the world that want to use the UK as a filming location. Creative England's Filming in England team are the first port of call for productions looking to film in England outside of London. Hertfordshire, for example, is home to some of the biggest productions we watch on our screens, such as The Crown, Wonder Woman, and A Certain Wizarding World. Hayley Armstrong is head of this team. She's recently returned from LA, where she was pitching to the biggest studios in the world why England is such an appealing place to come and film.
Hello.
Hi, Hayley. You okay?
Hi, Abby. I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm good. How was LA?
It was fantastic. It went really well, actually. It felt like a really important year. So I went over the BSC, the British Film Commission, and our other nations, and we were basically pitching to all of the big US clients over in LA the entire UK offer.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was good.
Ah, good.
And, you know, their kind of perception is that the UK is full, so it was really important that we were there to say, look, the UK is busy, but we are not full, so, you know, we're open for business. And they've just got so much content to produce, you know, all these different new streamers coming online. It's, you know, there's such a big opportunity.
Who was you speaking to? Was it like Universal, Warner Brothers?
Yeah, Paramount, lots of different big clients, and they're the people that are making the decisions of where they're bringing their productions to. So they're looking at all different international territories. But, you know, we are a reliable destination for them. US is a big market, as you know, for us. So it's just a good thing that we do every year to just check in, you know, with existing clients, make new networks and friendships with new people.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So for people who don't know what the Filming in England team do at Creative England, can you just explain what that department does for us?
Yeah, sure. So basically, the production services team, we are the first point of call for productions that want to film in England outside of London. So we provide like a comprehensive production support service to feature films and high-end TV drama. So we're kind of the boots on the ground for them to sort of allow them to concentrate and put in more money on screen. So we help with permissions, opening up location access, crew, studios, kind of the whole bag, really.
And what area is it that you cover?
So I cover the southeast and the east of England. So very busy patches, particularly obviously the southeast because of the biggest studios in the country, Warner Brothers Studio Leeson, Elstree, Pinewood, Shepperton, they're all based in my area. So yeah, it's very busy.
And of course the spill off from London about helps.
It does, yeah. So I'm based at Elstree Studios. Been there for about 8 years, and previous to that I was based at Leeson for 11 years. So I've always sort of been based in Hertfordshire, and the spillover, you know, from the London filming to Hertfordshire, they feel it a lot, which is great.
So you mentioned you're in Hertfordshire. What's that like as a location for film?
Hertfordshire is a gorgeous, gorgeous county. So I'm born and bred Hertfordshire girl. But yeah, so obviously it benefits, it's got Leeson Studios and Elstree and BBC Elstree Centre. So we have, you know, productions based in the county would benefit from the spillover from London. But the locations are amazing. You know, you've got beautiful, stately homes that are used so much for filming, like Hatfield House in Hertfordshire. I think about 80% of the favourite films at Hatfield House. Got Nebworth House, beautiful little English villages and National Trust properties. And then sort of on the other hand, we've got like urban centres and courtrooms and hospitals and film-friendly farms and multi-purpose. There's just such a range of different locations in Hertfordshire that filmmakers can tap into.
And what benefit do you think it has having the buy-in of local businesses, local people? What sort of benefit do you think that adds?
It's so beneficial. So, well, Hertfordshire as an example, the local authorities, the police, highways, they're all really receptive to filming. They're really film friendly. And it's so important. You know, good experiences had by productions will only just breed more and more production. It's so key. And that's kind of the role that we do, is building up that film friendliness. And also to local residents as well. You know, you do get areas of the country that have a lot of filming, so you've got to sort of balance that out and make sure that residents and businesses can go about their daily life, but also, you know, feel the benefits of when a production crew comes to their area.
And what's the vibe like in a town or a village in Hertfordshire when there's filming going on?
You know, people are really excited. I suppose maybe sometimes if there's road closures, that's maybe a little bit, you know. But obviously, you know, we work so closely with the location managers, who are amazing and really organised, and that's their job, is to sort of liaise with the local residents and businesses to make sure that everyone's fully informed and stuff. But if you live in Hertfordshire, there's pretty much a film crew shooting every day on location in the county, but you just might not know where they are. But yeah.
What sort of scale of productions come there? Is it like feature films, TV shows or short films, or is it a bit of everything?
It's a bit of everything. I mean, so famously, we're home to Harry Potter. So that was based at Leavesden Studios for 10 years. And I've supported all of those productions that were there, which is incredible. So, you know, like the biggest names in film and TV alongside Bond, Star Wars, The Queen, The King's Speech. And then in terms of TV, there's so much TV drama as well. There's a lot of historical dramas done in Hertfordshire, like Bleak House. We've had lots of war-type things, so Saving Private Ryan and Band of Brothers, and loads of crime dramas. But like Midsummer Murders, so obviously they're using our beautiful villages and the rural landscapes and stuff, and Silent Witness, and there's such a broad range of productions that film and use locations in Hertfordshire. It's you know, it's got a really impressive showreel.
It sounds like it's had quite a strong infrastructure for a while. Like you've just named Saving Private Ryan, which is, it's quite an old film, so I assume it's been a film-friendly region for a long time.
It has, yeah. So, you know, Saving Private Ryan, that filmed at Hatfield Aerodrome. That was incredible. You know, we really had to get people supporting that in terms of planning applications. And well, both Saving Private Ryan and Band of Brothers filmed at the same location in Hatfield, and it was amazing. One story I always remember was there was a laundrette that set up business off the back of that filming, because obviously they had all these war uniforms to keep, you know, cleaning. Wow. And for the next day, and to this day they're still in business, I believe. So yeah, that's really cool, isn't it?
It's really cool. So what makes you so passionate about making filming happen?
For me, it's like when I get to see the TV drama or the film and I see the locations on screen, and it just makes me feel full of pride that they've filmed, you know, in the country and you can see the country on screen. Yeah, it's, you know, the magic that they then bring to, and, you know, you see these things set up and you get the initial inquiry of what they're looking for and sort of going along that whole process, and then to see the final product on screen, that's what gets me up in the mornings.
So what benefit do you think it brings into the UK having productions come here? What sort of economic benefit does it bring?
Right, so it brings massive economic impact to the country. So obviously when a production rocks up to film, you know, they're doing lots of local spend whilst they're in that area. It brings about job creation, it increases the profile of that area, which can then lead to film tourism. You know, there's cultural benefits. It's really far and wide reaching, which is, you know, it's great. And people love the creative industries and seeing all of our amazing talent at work and feeling part of that.
And how important do you think it is to be supporting local films, that directors of those films may end up directing big budget features in 10, 15 years' time?
Yeah, 100%. So, you know, our domestic industry is so important. That's where our crews sort of are cutting their teeth and learning the skills then to be able to work on these bigger kind of productions that come in. And you know, we're world renowned for our talented crews and behind the scenes talent. It's so important, which is why I think a lot of the time people think, you know, the industry is very southeast and London centric, but we've got like three ready-made production hubs 2 hours from London, with, you know, Bristol in the southwest, Leeds up in Yorkshire, Manchester and Liverpool in the northwest, and they are all serviced by incredibly talented crews. And it's really important that the positive effects that this industry brings is felt across the whole of the country.
Yeah, there's sort of a myth, isn't there, in the industry, that if you're not in London, you won't make it, or, you know, you won't be getting work. But these hubs, even Liverpool opening their version of, is it Twickenham Studios going in there? Capital & Century?
Yeah, the Little Words Studio Development, yes.
You see
them, that's going to be brilliant.
And you see them more and more in the, you know, in the regional creative clusters. And I think it's leading with the film officers as well, I guess. You do quite a bit of work with those guys, don't you?
We do. We work really closely with them. They do an amazing job in terms of facilitating stuff and promoting their areas, and we all work together. We all want production to come to this country, so we work collaboratively. And, you know, we are quite a small country. The country is really accessible. So, you know, these out-of-London production hubs are so important. And we've got layers and layers of crews in each of those production hubs. Mm. So you might not, you know, I suppose thinking of like a big US studio production coming over, you know, they might be used to the London hotels and stuff, but you know, they can go over to film at the Bottle Yard Studios in Bristol, and they could go and stay in a castle. It's just kind of a different experience, but they're still working with these incredibly talented crews and adaptable studio spaces. And then location wise you're never far from a site that can double for another city or another country across the world. There's just, it's all good.
So the crew database and the locations database, who is able to use that with Creative England?
So anyone can access those. So any productions are free, and we'd love people to use that as a facility. We're forever trying to build those. So again, if people work outside London, please register on the crew database, because it's used a lot by productions crewing up. And you also then find out about networking evenings that we put on across the regions. So yeah, I'd really advise people to look into the crewing side of things for sure.
And your locations database, how many locations are registered on that database?
We've got about 18,000.
Wow.
Now. Yeah, it's a bit of a beast. And it's growing, you know, every day, but we never know what inquiry we're going to get. So, and we want to obviously promote the best that the country has to offer. So we put a lot of energy into promoting the database and getting new registrations on there.
And that's a free service, isn't it?
Absolutely. Free to register, absolutely.
And where else are your team based? So what other regions are covered?
So we've got someone in our Bristol office. We've got a team at Elstree with me, at Elstree Studios in Hertfordshire. And then the rest of the team is based up at Media City in Manchester. But we're kind of out around all the time. So next week I'm in Newcastle and Liverpool and London actually as well. So yeah, we're out and about.
So I don't want to put you on the spot. What's your favourite production that has filmed in Hertfordshire?
Oh, it has to be Harry Potter because I love it. And I just think it's incredible. Like, when you look at those films that were, you know, they were shot over a 10-year period, and it's kind of captured the industry in a point of time. So watching the first film, you see the visual effects and stuff, and then to the last, you can just see how much the industry has developed. And yeah, and I'm a massive Potter fan.
I guess that's a really good example of what one franchise of a film can do for a whole area.
I know. Well, thank gosh we did it. I mean, also, it's very culturally British, isn't it, Harry Potter? And now we've got the studio tour that's just adjacent to Leeds and Studios. And I think it's been the top-rated TripAdvisor every year in the UK, or even worldwide, since it's open. It's amazing. Like, even if you're not a Harry Potter fan, you should go, because, you know, the experience of seeing the incredible work and of the talented people that, you know, work on productions, it's amazing.
That's it from the Southeast and for this episode. We'll be back next month with another as we head north. I've been your host, Andy Johnson. If you'd like to get in touch about anything you've heard on the podcast or to share your thoughts on the series, we can be found on Twitter at iFeaturesUK. And please do leave us a review and rating on your podcast app. It really does help us become more discoverable, and then more people can learn about film development. Don't forget to subscribe to the series on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and then next month's episode will just drop into your feed when it's released. This podcast is brought to you by Creative England, a national body that invests in creative talent and businesses across film, TV, games, and digital media to help turn ideas into reality. iFeatures is led by Creative England and supported by BBC Films, Screen Skills, and made possible through National Lottery funding from the BFI. You can find more information about the programme and this year's 12 selected filmmaking teams on Creative England's website. This series was created and produced by Tonality Media and hosted by me, Andy Johnson.
My grandpa just said, hurry up and finish.